Lord, thank you so much for allowing us to gather here. Thank you so much for the word that you have for each one of us today, Lord. This is not just information. This is an opportunity to be transformed by your Son, Jesus Christ, through the work of your Spirit in our hearts, Lord. I pray that as we go through these things, Lord, we may just be so attentive, and Lord, that we may walk away with health in our soul, in our bodies, Lord. So we ask that you lead us through the study and you help us understand these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Psalm 62. To the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He alone, or he only, is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you attack man? You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall or a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him, or to cast him down from his high position. They delight in his lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is refuge for us. Selah, think about that. Surely men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. If they are weighed on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. Do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his work. So the psalmist here, being David, whatever was going on in his life, expresses again trust, simple confidence in the Lord. By this time, that trust and confidence is demonstrated in waiting. We can demonstrate our trust and confidence in the Lord in very many ways. We can pray. We can ask God. We can be obedient to God. God says, do something, and out of trust and confidence in him, you obey and do it. This is one of the difficult parts of demonstrating our trust in the Lord. It's waiting. He makes a promise. He reveals himself through his word. You're going through something similar to what David was going through, and God says, wait. And this says, silently wait, because we can wait panicking. Do you know people who panic a lot when they're in trouble? We can wait making noise, not listening, constantly praying without listening. But David demonstrates his trust in the Lord by silently, quietly waiting for an answer. And he says, truly my soul silently waits for God. Why? Because he is my salvation. He is the one who gives me the help that I need. He is my rock, place of safety and security. The rock of my salvation. He is my defense. He protects me. I shall not be greatly moved. Those who wait upon the Lord are going to find themselves safe and secure in the Lord, and they will not be greatly moved, the Bible says here, just like David does. He obviously has enemies, and that's why he's writing this. He needs safety, he needs security, he needs to be assured of help. And he does place his trust in the right place, in God. He says, how long will you attack man? These wicked men. You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall under tottering place. Like somebody who is very unstable, just needs a little push and he falls down. He says, they consult to cast him down from his high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they cast inwardly. The wicked, his enemies, were given to deception. They were given to, of course, corruption we see here. They were given to all sorts of evil speech. They say one thing on the outside, but inwardly they are meaning something else. They pronounce a blessing from the outside, but on the inside they are actually cursing. They are intending harm or evil. Little do they know that they are going to be completely destroyed, just like a leaning wall or a tottering fence. They don't even know that they are unstable. They don't even know that their foundation is weak. How foolish. And he says, still demonstrating his trust in the Lord, my soul, wait patiently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He's talking to himself. And he's saying to his soul, wait silently. Don't panic. Be attentive. Shut up. Be quiet. Stop quarreling and murmuring and complaining. That was the trait in the wilderness. God is the one who told the Jews, go, I'm ahead of you. He obviously practically and physically showed them that he was with them. But they continued murmuring and complaining and whining and all sorts of things in the wilderness. And they missed out on many opportunities. And maybe David thinks about that, and maybe he just thinks about his own life. Maybe he's observing some people who panic, who quarrel, who whine, who always have something to talk about, who never listen, they never pay attention. He says, my soul, I know you're talkative, I know you can easily go in panic, but I want you to be quiet as you wait on the Lord. Of course, there is time to pray. There is time to talk to God. But there is also time to listen. And if God says, I am coming, I'll give that job to you. I'll give you that desire of your heart. I will be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Whatever the promise is, why not wait? Because if it's coming in 5 years, regardless of how much you panic or how much you quarrel or how much you complain, you'll have to wait for 5 years. The one thing that you need to know is that that wait is actually going to be 5 years. And how are you going to know that? By listening. He says, for my expectation is from him. He alone, or he only, is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God, my salvation and my glory. Of course, he's waiting on God for something very particular. He needs help. He needs protection. He needs security. He obviously has guards. He has security guards. He has weapons, but he does not trust in those. He says, for my expectation is from him. Who do you expect help from when you need? Who should you expect every help from when you have some needs? Is it man, or is it God, or is it completely God? Trust in him at all times. You people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. When should we trust him? At what time should we trust him? Only in the morning? Only when everything is good? Only in the evening? No. David said, I want you to trust the Lord at all times. Rest in him at all times. And the great thing about waiting and trusting in the Lord here is dependence on his ability. The only reason that we should not trust the Lord is when we know he's not able. But we know that he's able. He's powerful. He can do anything. He's faithful to fulfill his promises. And because he's able to, it gives us reason to trust, to wait. You're sitting on those chairs because you know it will hold you up. If you knew for sure that that chair is not able, or at least it has a 50% chance of not holding you up, you wouldn't be sitting there. And similarly, knowing God's ability, God's strength, we need to sit there and say, God, in you we trust at all times. You are our refuge. In you we hide. We are homeless, and in you we live. So he compares there in verse 9, trusting God and trusting men. So if you trust in people, know this, surely men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. If they weighed them on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. So you can trust in men. But you know as much as I do that we will disappoint each other. We may make promises, but unavoidable circumstances happen and we don't fulfill them. Maybe today we are strong, tomorrow we may be sick. Maybe today we have quite a bit of stuff, tomorrow we may not. He says, you trust in a poor man, a man of low degree. He's a vapor. It's wind. He's blowing away. He's just also passing by just like you. He's on transition. Life is fleeting. You trust in men of high degree. They are altogether lighter than vapor. When we decide to walk by sight, to walk by the things we see, we're definitely going to incline towards trusting in people. Because we see them, because we see tangibly they have something that we need. And naturally, we can incline to trust in men. David said, if they are weighed, all right, you weigh them. Lighter than vapor. How can you even measure quantity that is lighter than wind? They're just flying by. You trust men for your security. You trust men for help. You trust men for safety. It's not going to work unless the people you are trusting in also trust in the Lord. And if the people you trust in are not also trusting in the Lord, then your trust is actually going to be very, very shaky. The second category he describes, trusting in evil, trusting in oppression, trusting in robbery, trusting in riches. There are people who get rich every day because they are doing evil. They are practicing evil. They are deceiving. They are cheating. They are stealing. And don't you see from observation that that is what they trust? They trust in their cars. They trust in their money. They trust in their buildings. They trust in everything they have. They trust in getting rich by oppression, by stealing from the poor, by embezzling money that is meant for something else. And every day they live intending to do more the next day, to steal more the next day, to lie more the next day for gain. They trust in robbery, thieves and thugs every day. He says, if riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Maybe you're rich and maybe your wealth may increase. The problem is not the wealth, not the money. The problem is setting your heart on it. The love of money is the root of all evil. God may grant you so much, or God may grant you so little, just enough, or even not enough, but don't set your heart on things that are so, so weak. God has spoken once. You like the phrase there in verse 11, God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. And that's why we should trust Him. He is the only one who can help. He is the one who can guarantee every help that we need. He's the one who can hide us when you need to hide. When we don't have a home, we are refugees. Only God can hide us. I don't know if you're following the refugee crisis in Syria, Turkey, and Eastern and Western Europe. I mean, biblically, we are responsible to house each other. If somebody knocks on our door, they're homeless, the godly thing to do is to allow them in. All right? Because you never know when you also will be homeless. What if disaster explodes in Europe and they're trying to flee back to the Middle East? Should the Arabs block them from getting in? Obviously no. I mean, that aside, when we need a home, when we need rest, when we need peace, it's only found in the Lord. And the psalmist says, I've had this twice, I've had this many times. Only God is able. Power belongs to the Lord. We are all weak. And the systems we build are all weak and breakable. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each according to his work. Not only is God powerful, but God is merciful. He does not grant us the punishment we deserve. He withdraws it. And think about it. We approach God, the righteous God, with dirty hands, with dirty hearts, with impure minds. But thank God, He's merciful. When we approach Him with dirty hands, He's able to wash us, to cleanse us, to forgive us when we repent. He's merciful not to punish us, but to withdraw that punishment from us and to give us an answer, to answer us, whether it's a yes, a wait, or a no. Isaiah, talking to the Jews, said in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with eagles, with wings like eagles, rather. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those who trust in the Lord keep going. The journey may be rough. The journey may be tough. But when you trust in the Lord, you are going to get strength that keeps you going. Now, I know that we can memorize that verse and take it like a painkiller. All right? We know every side to it. We know every word. We know the order. But this is a promise from God Himself that those who wait on Him shall be strong. They shall be given wings like eagles. If it means flying, God will give them wings to fly. God will sustain them in the process. God is going to give them the grace and every sufficiency they need for the flight, for the journey. Since they will run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. I don't know if you've watched a movie created out of a true story in South Sudan when the war broke out, I think over 20 years ago. These kids literally walked from South Sudan into Ethiopia, back into Kenya, I think. At one point, of course it's desert, it's semi-arid, no water in this area, this particular area they were in, and thirsty. Weak, no food. You know what they did? They had a very simple faith that, you know what? God can give us water in this wilderness. Because God gave the Israelites water in the wilderness. And you know what happened? Just a straw and pushed it on the ground, maybe just a few inches, and there was drinking water. Miracle. They get to a river. None of them knew how to swim. The Northern Sudan soldiers were attacking. None of them knew how to swim. And one said, you know what? Even Moses did not know how to swim. One of them was able to swim across. They were able to get a rope across this short stream, which they could not walk through. And they were able to cross, each one of them, just holding this string across the river. Simple trust in God. If God gave Moses water in the wilderness, he can give it to us. If God made the Israelites walk on dry ground, they didn't know how to swim. God could have said, you know, guys, you know how to swim? Swim across the Red Sea. They didn't. And God gave them ability to swim. If you're here on Sunday, you heard the testimony of this lady waiting for her husband for over a decade. How can you do that without God's strength? And sometimes we can take the Bible for just information. We can just get the information and miss out the life and transformation that that word comes with. At one point in this life, you will have to demonstrate complete trust in the Lord. Complete trust in His promises. Complete trust for Him to help. You will discover that the moment you don't do that, you end up in a place that you never want to be. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25, this is really a mourning. The whole book of Lamentations, mourning of Jeremiah, he said, the Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul seeks Him. Now, God is good to everyone. But here we are told God is particularly good to those who wait on Him. There are some things we all wait for all the time. There's always something that we are waiting for, and we must wait for God's timing. And the psalmist says, wait quietly. Don't tell anyone. Don't panic. Don't quarrel. Don't whine. Don't say anything that you're going to regret. Just this, they're silent, saying, Lord, I am waiting for you. I'm waiting on you for that. You will see God's goodness. In Psalm 27, 14, we've already seen this, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You need strength. We all need strength because we get weak. By the end of today, you're going to be so tired and weak, you have to go back to sleep so your body can be re-energized. We can get tired waiting on the Lord, but even in that tiredness, God gives us strength for the night. And in Psalm 63, a psalm of David, when he was in the wilderness of Judah, we're not told exactly what was happening, but the story is found in 2 Samuel chapter 15. It says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, so I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by Him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. As if talking about God giving him a response, you know, for his waiting. And then he makes it priority to seek God. He says, "You are my God, and early will I seek you. Early will I look for you." That could easily mean early morning, every time you wake up, you're looking for God's mind, you're looking for God's will. But that is indicative of priority. What do you do first in every situation? You have to look for God's opinion. You have to look for God's mind. You look for God's plan. Where is he taking you? What is he up to? What is he saying? What does he have for you for the day? And he says, every morning, I'm going to make it priority to look for your face. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land. It's wilderness. And his physical thirst causes him, in a way, to picture his spiritual thirst. I want God. I want his water, the water of his spirit. He says, I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and glory. At this point, worship was still done in the tabernacle. Maybe far off from where David was. And David longs to go to church to worship the Lord. He longs to go and meet with God through the high priest. He longs just to be there. He says, to see your power and glory, to see God's strength and his beauty. Remember Moses? God sends him by a burning bush, speaks to him through a burning bush. He goes on the mission. He's on his way back, and he really wants to see God. I mean, the sight of a burning bush was maybe something familiar to him, and he really wanted to know God more. As a shepherd, he could have seen a lot of burning bushes around. And when God is leading them, he asks to see God's face. And tell you what, Moses is one of those guys who tested God's power. And so, and also asked to see God's beauty, and he saw it. And that was just a glimpse. God passed him by, and he saw his afterglow. David is not randomly looking for God. He really wants to see something very particular. He wants to see God's power in his situation. He wants to see God's beauty. He wants to see God's goodness in the situation. I mean, what are you seeking God for? We can easily say, well, wait, what are you waiting for? You're waiting for something. Look for God. What exactly are you looking for? What is it that you want, that you're looking for? For David, Lord, I just want to see his power, his beauty, his glory. I don't know if you've gone to do whitewater rafting in the Nile. I mean, I wouldn't do that for any reason. Why would I? I have to completely be out of my mind to do that. So a few friends were going down there, and I told them, why do you have to do that? I mean, you can do lots of exciting things for cheap. I mean, you're paying to do something dangerous? Okay, you go. And I told them, you know, that is testing God. That is tempting God. You know what they told me? No, it's not testing God. It is testing God's power. The power that just drives you, and it's just water. It's just water going downstream with so much force. And for them, that is really testing God's power. I don't have to test God's power. I've seen it. But David really wants to see God's hand involved in his situation. He's probably looking for God's power because he's a soldier. He knows he has to fight. And as a strong soldier, he says, God, I'm strong, but I'm not strong enough. I want to see power beyond my own strength. Maybe the situation was quite ugly. He wants to see God's beauty, That word glory. The beautiful appearance of God. It says, because your loving kindness is better than life. I would rather see your kindness than live, is what it's saying. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. David is looking for satisfaction and is not going to be satisfied until he sees God do something, until he sees God's power and God's beauty. He says, Lord, I'm going to remain thirsty for you until I see you in action. That is good thirst, because in this life we're looking for something to satisfy us every day, whether it's food, identity, accomplishments, money, whatever it is. We're looking for something every day. That's what drives us. That's why we work. That's why we pursue things that we pursue. Because we're looking for some kind of satisfaction. Now, the vain thing is that we shall never be satisfied in this earth with the things that we see. If you did simple economics, they'll tell you that human needs are completely insatiable. You cannot satisfy any human need. The man who has little wants more, and the one who has more wants just a little more. There is only satisfaction in God. It's only God who can make you content with what he provides. And it is the search of God and the finding of God that brings complete satisfaction. If everybody on this planet found God, they would stop going the direction they're going immediately. Because they will have found the one thing they're looking for and they don't even know it. Everybody would stop and say, well, we found God, and this journey can as well stop. My soul shall be satisfied as of marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. And he says, when I remember you on my bed, you think about God when you go to bed? He says, I think about you, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. When you are going to bed today, just look back through the day, through the week, and recollect how God has been good to you. Recollect how God has helped you through the day. Even getting home is a miracle. It says, therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. He's not going to keep away from the Lord. He's looking for God. He wants to see his power. He wants his strength and beauty. He says, I will keep there, and in that I'm going to be satisfied. It says, I will remain under your care and protection, under your wings. Your right hand upholds me. His hand of favor, his strong hand holds him up. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for the jackals. Those who are going to pursue him are going to obviously die. And we know that. Lots of his enemies fell aside. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. David commits to seek God. He commits to make seeking God a priority. And as if he finds God, and he commits himself to praise, he commits himself to be close to God, to follow the Lord, he commits himself to just rejoice. The first command that we were given is that of seeking God. The first thing we should do, we should think about, either in the morning or in the evening or during the day, all the time, is God and what he wants. And many places we are warned, a failure to seek the Lord is going to lead us somewhere else that we never want to be. That's the word Moses had for the Israelites. That's the word that every prophet called upon the Israelites to do. And that's the word that God has for us today, the life of David. Are you looking for God? In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. We can look for jobs and find them, right? We can look for girls and find them, or guys. We can look for money and find them. Find it. Whatever we look for, we may end up finding. But there is one thing, just one thing that we need to do. To look for God. Now, looking for Him, not that He's so hidden we can't find Him. He's actually explained Himself to us. But just like David, committing ourselves, as he said, not to depart from the shadow of His wings. Closely following Him. He's leading us. And we don't want to be stagnant. And a lot of people can be stagnant. No fruit. Or very minimal fruit. Or fruit that is not growing. Have you seen some plants over years, especially oranges and tangerines? The first fruit is normally huge when the plant is just fresh. Years down the road, they shrink, 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 shrink. That should not be us. Seek the Lord. Look for God and His strength. If you're weak, that's what you need. If you're poor, that's what you need. If you're confused, if you're foolish, we are all that, and that's why we should look for God. In Psalm 27:8, He said, when you say, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. If you have a search engine, just punch in seek in your Bible search engine, and you'll see how many times God calls us to seek Him. And David said, Lord, when you said, seek my face, my answer was, yes, I will look for you. Not that you're so mysterious I can't find you, but you're so available. You're right here with us. And why not just stay with you? In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6, Isaiah said, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. And when Isaiah was sounding this warning, God was still available to be found. And eventually, after the last book of the Old Testament, God was going to stay silent for over 400 years. What if we know that from next year onwards, we can't find the Lord? We won't find Him, but we sought Him. Wouldn't we be looking for Him now? But that was in Isaiah's day. They didn't even know that there was going to be that over 400 years of silence from heaven. Now for us, God is here. God is in us. And we so often ignore Him. We so often don't want to hear from Him. Much of the time, we want to be on our own. And then we crash. And then we wish we had sought Him. Why not seek the Lord, being sure that we can find Him? If we all believe in God, maybe there are some who don't believe in God, and you can start that walk today. God has so many promises for each one of us, and He has a word about every situation. And Him alone we should wait. You only wait for a person who is coming, who is on the way, right? You sit there, somebody's coming to pick you up. Jesus is coming to pick us up. Are you readily waiting? He has made so many promises for us. Are you trying to grab them on your own? Are you there saying, God, when the time is right, you will grant it. And for you alone, Psalmist says, my soul silently. You've prayed, you've talked to God, right? He has heard. And He said, all right, it's now time to be quiet. Don't say anything. Just wait. Are you looking for God? Or just looking for the things that you want, completely outside God? Are you looking for the things that satisfy? Are you looking for the one person who will satisfy you? Are you looking for closeness to the Lord? As the psalmist says, I just want to be close behind you. You are ahead of me, Lord, because you are a leader. I just want to be close behind you. I never want to be so far off from you. I want you to uphold me in your favors and in your strength. Your right hand upholds me. And in so doing, so seeing God's power, God's strength, just like David, we will live a life full of rejoicing. I mean, there are so many sad people around us. We don't want to add to the sad statistics, do you? At least you want to be counted among the happy, the rejoicing. True rejoicing is in the Lord. True joy. And rejoice basically means joy and joy and joy again. Repeated joyfulness. Only in the Lord. I mean, we cannot say in you, God, we will rejoice apart from in God. Maybe God has given you some particular promises. Maybe you're just waiting for him for his general promises. Wait. I say on the Lord. Wait. Quietly. Do you want to see God at work? You want to see God's goodness? You can seek him. You can look for him. We can look for him in his word. Right? Lord, what do you have to say today? Let me look. We can look for him in prayer. Talk to him. Lord, what do you want for me? What do you have for me today? What do you want me to do? Where should I go? What should I do? And looking for him, not because it's hidden, it's hard to find, but it's available. We're looking for his strength. We will see his strength. We're looking for his transformation. We're looking for transformed hearts. We will find it. We're looking for satisfaction. We will find it. We have some particular needs, and only God can provide. Tell you what, he will provide at his time. We're desiring to bear more fruit, to be more fruitful. God will prune us for more fruitfulness. We want his strength, we are weak. God is going to give every strength we need. Let's stand and pray. Lord, thank you so much for being faithful. When you promise, Lord, you deliver. And that gives us reason to wait. Wait on you alone. Men or riches or anything are limited. The psalmist says when we weigh them, they are lighter than vapor. They can't help. And we know that when we wait on you, Lord, you will renew our strength. You will renew our hope. You will renew every discouragement, every exertion, oh God. You will empower us. God, you've made so many promises to all of us as his children, and you've made particular promises each one of us. And we just want to wait on you. We don't want to try to get it on our own because we can't. We want to wait for you. Your timing is the best. Lord, we want to commit ourselves to make it a priority to look for your mind, to look for your will, to look for your plan, to look for you in your word, to talk to you in prayer, to be attentive to what you have to say. Lord, in so doing, you will give us what we are looking for. God, each one of us wants to see you work in our lives. But we want to see you in very practical and tangible ways. David wanted to see your strength and goodness. And in many ways, we want the same. Whether it's through fulfilled conditions, whether it is provision for a lack, whether it is some desire that we have in our hearts. Lord, when we look for you, we will find you. And in you is everything, all sufficiency, all provision, all power, all goodness. Lord, thank you so much for availing yourself for us. Thank you so much that you will show us your goodness. You will show us your power. You will show us your strength. You will show us your will. Just like David said, we want to follow you closely. We never want to be any far from you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.